This is the Oanda Podcast.
This is the Oanda Market Insights Podcast, talking to Oanda senior market analysts across the world. And today we're joined by Ed Moyer in New York. Good afternoon from London. How are you doing?
Good morning from New York. And this is throwing me off. I feel like it's Friday now.
Yeah, we weren't actually meant to talk today, but due to the indisposition of one of our colleagues, it's Ed Moyer who's saved the day and stepped into the breach. So thank you for that, Ed.
I'm always happy to talk with you. In the middle of the week, we got so much going on and looking forward to diving in.
Okay, we have indeed got plenty going on. Let's start with those latest U.S. CPI figures, which suggest that inflation is heating up. How have markets responded?
This has been a market-moving report that, when you look at the numbers, they came out slightly hotter than expected. Core was mostly in line, and there's a lot to digest. But when you take a look at the market reaction, that says everything. Just to kind of give you a little bit of background, before this report, expectations were that yes, we have persistent inflation brewing, and that. The Fed was going to be pressured to raise interest rates possibly December of 2022. Shortly after this report, we had the movement in treasuries was pretty wild. We saw the 10-year surge higher, and then it quickly reversed. The money markets, what they did, or the Fed fund futures, they showed you that now, instead of, mostly pricing in a December 2022 hike, it now sees a 90% chance that the Fed will raise rates by September of 2022. The speak amongst Fed members, it's been the more cautious over inflation. I think you're seeing that, the Fed is, poised to reduce their stimulus and announce tapering on November 3rd. But right now, you're seeing a market that now is completely convinced that you're going to have the Fed shortly tighten rates once they're done tapering. And what's also complicating everything is that there's a lot of growth concerns that are starting to happen. I think there's fears that you're going to have Biden announce new tariffs on China. You're going to have this reset in Fed tightening destabilize emerging market economies. You're also going to see that the current trajectory of pricing pressures, it's completely changing. There's a scramble in DC where they're saying we need to address these supply chain issues. They're trying to get the ports working 24/7, which is something they've tried to do in the past, but it's not as easy as just going to all the top, conglomerates and telling them, like Walmart, FedEx, we need you to go 24/7, because you also need to have the railroads then working 24/7, the truckers 24/7. And now they're trying to do that to ease those bottlenecks at the LA ports. And the end result is that you're seeing all these pricing pressures. It's going to raise interest rates. And that's going to really, I think, start to have a impact the consumer and businesses, as they're going to cut back on spending. What's really, disrupting, I think, everyone's kind of playbook is that, you're even seeing, some of the favorite stocks and trends. Everyone was excited about getting their new iPhone, the iPhone 13. And now there's been reports that Apple's going to have to lower their forecast by 10 million for iPhone sales this year. That's a significant number, and that's, yes, it's just revenue deferred for Apple, but it shows you, Apple is one of the top manufacturers. They have the top relationships with, Texas Instruments and Broadcom, and you're going to see that this supply chain issue, is not easing up as we head into the holidays, and you're probably not going to see many discounts, I think, when it comes to Black Friday. And I think that the holiday after Thanksgiving, where many Americans do their holiday shopping, I think you're starting to see the pressure is to do it now. And it's really I think disrupting the outlook for how consumers are going to behave. And there's just so many different catalysts here, and inflation is not easing. And I think what's really going to confuse people is that it looks like, you know, some of the data is going to suggest that too. Over these next couple months, you might get some fake outs where it might look like the inflation is transitory. So, but everything that you live and breathe and see is saying it's not right now. So I think you're having a market that's really scrambling with that. And that's why we're seeing extreme volatility in treasuries. That's, obviously impacting the dollar. The dollar now is down on the session. And I think one of the more fascinating moves is what we saw with gold prices. Gold prices, after that inflation report initially, it plummeted towards like over $20 to 1760, and now it's surging, and now it looks like it's almost making a run for 1800. So a lot of volatility here, and it's all about inflation. And I don't want to leave out my good friends across the Atlantic. Money market expectations now see the Bank of England rate at 1% at December 2022. So it's not just the U.S. It's not just the Fed. It's also the BOE. All these interest rate hike expectations are going to get pumped higher.
Yeah, and we're all thinking that there's going to be a small rise in rates even before the end of this year to bring it back to 0.25%, but we shall see. Also in volatile situations, oil, isn't it, Ed? What is going on? Because there's a lot of talk about it climbing to 90 and beyond as far as the oil markets are concerned, but it's down today. Why?
I think today we're seeing oil prices, they are falling. And I think the main thing that happened was that there was the OPEC monthly oil report. And OPEC, it was the first time in some time that they turned cautious on oil demand. They're noting that the inflation surge is starting to weaken their outlook. And I think that you're probably going to see there's a lot of concern here that everyone got fixated on just the supply crunch that we're seeing and the global energy crisis. And some of those fears have eased a little bit natural gas prices have pulled back a little bit. But I think you're seeing that the interest rate expectations are really going to threaten the second half outlook for 2022. And OPEC is really getting a little bit nervous here that, we could see much softer demand. And I think one of the reasons why you're also seeing that is that there has been some concern that you're going to see extraordinary measures take place. You're going to continue to see U.S., China, and India, either say or actually tap their reserves. I think that you're going to probably see that, everything for oil is going to depend on this winter. If we have a cold winter, that could shift oil demand by over 1 million barrels per day easily. And this market's already in deficit. So I think that we haven't had the cold start to the winter or we're not in winter yet, but in autumn. And now it seems that, the longer we look at those 7-10 day forecasts and we're not really seeing cold prices, cold weather, oil prices will really, I think, struggle in that environment. So a cautious look on demand, not seeing the cold weather just yet is really allowing crude prices here to dip back below the $80 level. But it's trading through it. It's fallen through it. And now it's pairing some of those losses. And I think that you're going to see this is going to remain an extremely volatile trade. And one of the things that you have to remember is too, a lot of investors have been bullish oil. Hedge funds have been pumping this up higher to the at least the last $7. And now you're going to see that there's been a lot of people that, you know, they were trying to near the short-term top. I think, you know, the $83 area was kind of where a lot of people for WTI was saying that might be where you could start to see some profit taking. So I think oil is, by no means is this the end of the bullish move higher. I think it will be completely a sensitive market. And I think that's why you're going to see this volatility remain in place throughout the entire winter.
Okay, let's change direction to Bitcoin. And as far as Bitcoin mining is concerned, the US is now the number one for miners. And we're also awaiting a big decision about Bitcoin for next week.
Yes, I think crypto insiders, they were not surprised at the Cambridge Center for Alternative Finance, or otherwise known as CCAF, they showed that 1/3 of Bitcoin's hash rate is in the U.S. This is a significant 428% increase from September of 2020. You're seeing Bitcoin mining obviously take over China's number one slot. China has been, their 4-year crackdown on cryptos is finally fully implemented, and you're seeing that the mining had to go somewhere. And given the current situation globally as far as energy prices, and given the amount of billion-dollar investments you've seen with cryptos, there is no surprise that a lot of that mining has come to the U.S. You're probably going to see U.S. Is going to remain the top destination. I think you'll see it's not just going to be completely in the U.S. though. It is there is diverse interests, and I think that is important to note, because you don't want Bitcoin to be centralized in the U.S. That would be a bad thing. So that's really one of the key stories today. But I think everyone, for the most part, in the crypto world is waiting this Bitcoin ETF announcement. The SEC has 4 ETFs under consideration. ProShares is potentially going to have a ruling on Monday, and this is what is needed for Main Street to really feel comfortable that they have an investment that they could get in and feel a little bit more at ease as far as getting into cryptos. An ETF is something that you don't have to worry about typically you don't have to worry about your exchange going down. Coinbase, Robinhood have had outages in the past. Any ETF is something that you can easily trade. I think you don't have to worry about separate applications or fundings. There's this belief that if the ETF launch is successful, this could pave the way for the next major wave of crypto investment. So everyone is waiting to see, does the SEC approve it? Do they delay the decision? Now, we could see them approve ProShares, but delay on the other 3. It's still up in the air. We are getting closer to having a Bitcoin ETF. And the concern for many active traders is that, will this trigger a sell the news event? And as we've seen with the Coinbase IPO, as we also, if you take a look at the Bitcoin legal tender moment for El Salvador, those triggered massive sell-offs in Bitcoin. So volatility will be amplified here. We are seeing Bitcoin kind of hover around that 55,000 level. So a successful Bitcoin ETF, we're easily talking record highs. I think this is going to be a big move over the next week or next 7 trading days. And you're going to see that I think a lot of traders, they've been waiting on investments in Bitcoin and or for more what is viewed to be as secure investments with an ETF. There's still a lot of scrutiny over trading with like a Robinhood or a Coinbase. Some people, there's hacking scams and whatnot. With an ETF, you know, a lot of those fears are alleviated. That's going to be I'm sure we'll be going over how that happens or how the Monday decision goes next week. And I think it's going to definitely keep that volatility going for Bitcoin.
Very, very interesting indeed. Ed, thanks very much for joining us this afternoon, and we'll speak to you again on Friday.
Wonderful. Thank you.
This is the Oanda Podcast.